you know, this idea, and there, let's be honest, there are a million different ways that we could say that, come fully alive. You could say it in a bunch of different ways. You could use more theologically charged words. But the point is that our church has been a church that has been committed to Jesus Christ and following Him and drawing our life from Him for 60 years. So this is who we are. We are a Jesus people. We are His followers, and we want to experience this fullness of life that He has for us. As I mentioned last night, and that's not unique to us. It's not unique to any church. It's not unique to any person. Every person, every culture, throughout all of time, we all want the same thing. We all want to experience life at its fullness. It's just a question of how do we get there? How do we find it? And we believe that it can only be found in God, that it can only be found in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the interesting thing about this and about our church is that not only is this something that we feel compelled to strive for and to experience in our own lives, but by the very nature of this life, as Chris has been sharing with us, it orients us outward. Because when you discover this life and you begin to live the life, this abundant life that Jesus gives us, well, it just very naturally becomes something you want to give away. You want to bring that life to others. It's not something you want to just keep for yourself. You want to share it with others. You want as many people as possible to be able to experience this thing that you know deep down they really want. Even if they can't put it into words, or even if they say, no, I don't want it. You know that deep down they really actually do. And so we want to bring that life of Jesus to others. We unapologetically believe that Jesus is the way to that life, and therefore we have to share. We are compelled by God's love to share the good news of Jesus with the world. And so the question is really for us on a strategic level. The question is, how do we do that? How do we do that? You know, how do we help bring this life of Jesus to others? Well, you know, Chris has talked about running Alpha at Trinity. We've run Alpha here. I think there's only one church in the United States that has run Alpha longer than we have. It's Truro Church in Virginia. So we've been faithful in running Alpha for a very long time, since 1997. So who here was at the church before 1997? Okay, so a few hands. So that's a long time to run a ministry. But that's because we've done that. We've been faithful in doing that because we're committed to trying to provide an environment where we can share the good news of Jesus with people in a non-threatening conversational environment. And many people have come to faith over the years. Many. So we run Alpha. That's one way that we want to bring this life of Jesus to others. But actually, since about 1995, this church has had a vision for how it would ultimately bring life to others in a way that in a multiplying kind of way, in a way that we could never do just at Christ Church Overland Park. And that vision is the vision of planting new congregations. That ultimately, multiplying congregations that are trying to run Alpha and reach people for Jesus is going to be the way that in a bigger, more significant way, we are going to be able to bring the life of Jesus to others by planting new congregations. All of the data tells us, and Chris knows this a lot more than I do, but there's a lot of research that tells us that new congregations are just more effective at reaching new people than 60-year-old churches. And we probably don't even have to think very deeply about why that is true, but it is true that new congregations are more effective at reaching new people. And so the by far, the best strategic way to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ is to plant new churches. And maybe I should put the caveat, new healthy churches. And so that has been a desire, that has been a vision of this church since at least 1995, and maybe even before that. I wasn't around in 1995, but I know the history back at least that far. So that has been what this church has wanted to do. So when I became the senior pastor in 2008, my inclination, having already been at Christ Church for 8 years by that point, my inclination was, well, we need to plant a new congregation. That's what we need to do. That's been the vision. And for years, we have been kind of thwarted in our efforts to fulfill it. So my first instinct when I became senior pastor was, that's where we've got to get to. We've got to get to the place where we can plant a new congregation. But in 2008, when I became the senior pastor, we just simply were not ready for that. We were not ready for that for a variety of reasons. And I don't want to dredge up old history, but obviously we had been through a very, very difficult time as a church. The most difficult time in the history of this church, at least as far back as I can go. It was just a very difficult time, and it really shook us at a foundational level. We had come through that. We were also in the worst economy since the Great Depression, which I was just telling these guys last night about. What a treat that was to become the senior pastor and then have the bottom drop out of the economy. It's like, Lord, come on, seriously. Like, if things were not already difficult enough. So we had that to deal with. And then we also had this pretty substantial debt burden that was it was sucking up a lot of our financial resources just to finance that debt. And I could just look at the books, and I knew, well, there's our church plant right there. It's going to the bank. It's going to the bank every month. So we weren't ready to plant. Even though that was the impulse, and I knew that was ultimately where we were headed, we needed a season of preparation. We needed to prepare. And the one thing that I have learned about myself is that I've been very open with you all that, you know, I'm not a Chris. Like, Chris is the tortoise, or he's the hare. I'm the tortoise. Like, I'm just kind of plodding along slowly, you know, but I just keep moving. And I can do that. I can do that. I can't move very fast, but I just keep moving. And so I've learned that I can be patient. And I've learned that if we can be patient, we actually can accomplish some really significant things. And so starting in 2009, we really began a season in our life as a church where we were very openly saying, this is a season of preparation. And the theme of that season really was this idea of we need to really shore up our foundations. Our foundations have been shaken. We need to really shore them up, not only in our ministries, but in our relationships, financially. We had to pay off the debt. There were a lot of things that we needed to do to shore up the foundations, to heal as a community, and be ready to plant a new congregation. And so we committed ourselves to do those things. And God blessed us. And it happened. The debt was eliminated thanks to many of you who contributed to that effort. God blessed us and allowed us to pay off our debt. Many of you remember at the end, as we were eliminating that debt, we received a very large gift from a parishioner. And that gift then enabled us to pay off the last remaining debt that we had. And it became the seed money that allowed us to plant Christ Church Mission. So God just really came through in such an amazing way. He blessed that season of preparation and not only kind of sealed it off by giving us that big gift, but then gave us the money to go into our next season. So we were at that point, we were ready to plant. We were ready to plant, and that's what we did. So we entered into another kind of five-year season in the life of our church. Not a season of preparation, but a season of planting. And that's what we've been doing for the last 5 years, really, is planting Christ Church Mission. And you think, well, does that take 5 years? Yeah, it has. Yeah. It takes 5 years. Because, first of all, we had to cast a vision for it. We had to raise up people who wanted to go. We had to have a leader that people wanted to follow. There's a lot of things that had to happen to get ready, to get prepared, to do it right. And so we planted, and then we had a season of three years where we said, okay, when we plant Christ Church Mission, in 3 years, it's got to be financially sustainable. So that in 2019, the budget will be able to handle Christ Church Mission, Christ Church Overland Park, and we won't be using any of the money that we had received, that gift, that seed money. And so 2019, we have been absolutely 100% financially sustainable. We are ahead of budget, and things are looking great. So, yeah, and thanks be to God. It's God working through all of you that's making this happen. So 2019 is the end of the planting phase. This phase is coming to an end because Christ Church Mission has taken root, and amazing things are happening there. It's really wonderful to see. We've met our financial goals, and many new people. I mean, every week there are so many new families coming to Christ Church Mission and checking it out. So it's really wonderful, the things that God is doing there. So now the question is, what now? What's next? What's next? And again, my instinct would be, well, let's plant. Let's plant again. Let's plant again. And the Lord definitely wants us to do that. Definitely wants us to do that. But right now, we're not ready. We're not ready. And I've also learned over the years that it's better just to admit if it's not, you're not ready, you're not ready. Because if you, as Chris said earlier, if you get out over your skis, that can be dangerous and not a good way. we're not ready to plant again. So we need actually another season of preparation. Before we're ready to plant again, we need to grow. We need to reach more people for Jesus Christ. We need to see people's lives transformed. We need to prepare financially. We need to raise up. You can't plant without a planter. So there's a lot of things that need to be done that need our attention and need our focus to be ready to plant. So we need a new season of preparation. That's really what is before us. And I know that doesn't sound sexy, like, oh boy, I thought this was supposed to be inspiring and you're talking about preparation. It is what it is. Look at where Christ Church Mission is now. Look at how well things are going. That would not be the case if we had not done our due diligence to get ready and prepare and to do it right. And so when we do this again, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it the same way. And I gave you my word when the questions came about Christ Church Mission. I said, look, I don't do things willy-nilly. Like, that's just not me. That's not how I roll. So we're not going to do something if we're not prepared and can do it well. So even though it may sound kind of like, that's kind of a dud, a season of preparation. Actually, it's not. This is exciting because during this season, we're going to see God work and we're going to see amazing things happen. And then we're all going to have this sense, yes, it's time. We're ready. We're ready to do this again. And so we're entering into this new season of preparation. The last season of preparation was about shoring up the foundations. We are at a very different place as a church than we were then. This season of preparation is about something entirely different. It's about something entirely different. And what do you think it is? You've been given some big clues. Hospitality. What is it that we need to do? Or I should say it this way. What is it that we need the Holy Spirit to do in us so that we will be ready to plant again? It's this. He needs to make us into the most hospitable people we can possibly be. Thank you. You're always free to give me an amen. We need the Holy Spirit to make us into the most hospitable people we can possibly be. Amen. That is how we are going to reach more people for Jesus Christ. That is how we are going to see people's lives transformed. That is how we are going to grow as a church and be ready to plant again whenever that time comes. It's by becoming hospitable people. Hospitable people. So that's what our new season of preparation is going to be all about. Hospitality. And we are going to start looking at everything we do through that lens. Hospitality. Hospitality is what is going to help us bring this abundant life of Jesus that we know people want and they need. It's hospitality that's going to help us bring that life to them. It's hospitality that is going to get us ready as a community to plant a new congregation. And why hospitality? Why? Question, why? Yes.
It's about relationships. Christianity has always been about a relationship.
Thank you, yes. So hospitality is relational, and that's at the very heart of who God is, right? So this idea of hospitality is it's rooted in God Himself, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's see that so this is the icon Chris was referring to earlier, Rublev's icon. And you see there, it's so the story behind this is the story in Genesis, where Abraham is visited by his three guests that he later figures out, oh, wait a minute, this was a divine encounter. He didn't really know it was a divine encounter to begin with, but then he realized, wait a minute, this God showed up. And so it's a picture of that scene with Abraham, his three guests, but that points us to the reality of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they are in perfect community. But because of God's heart, His very nature is to say, look, you're invited in. There's a place for you. There's a place for you at this table. And that's what hospitality is all about. It's about that relationship with God where we are invited in. We're invited into a relationship that already is there. And we get to participate in it. So hospitality, because it's rooted in God, it's thoroughly biblical. Why else? Why else would hospitality be something that we would want to really kind of dig into? It creates warmth. Creates warmth. Yes. It creates space. It creates space. Yeah. It makes room for people to participate, to come in and to be able to stay, to have a place to call their community. Yeah.
I'm not one for grandiose words, but in real life, we are here because of hospitality.
Yeah. We exist as a church because of the hospitality of God. Yes, He has invited us in. What?
It's Velcro.
It's Velcro. Yeah. Pardon? People are lonely. That is the plague of our time. People are lonely. I mean, we're so connected to these crazy things, but we don't have any friends. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, through the practices of hospitality, we learn how to minister to each other. We learn how to think about the other person and what they need, and not just thinking about ourselves and what we need. You know, I think hospitality is what we need to focus on, because in part, I think it's something that we already understand. It's not like I would describe us as an inhospitable community. I think we are a hospitable community. So I think it's something that's already in us that we can grow. I've always heard people say, you know, people in leadership say, look, you're going to be more successful if you build up your areas of strength rather than just trying to fix all your weaknesses. So I think this is an area of strength for us, but I think it's something that therefore can become an even greater strength. You know, I think also just about the cultural moment, that we're in. I don't want to get into this, you know, like, oh, the church is good and the culture is bad. Please don't hear me saying that. But I do think it is obvious to us that we are in a cultural moment where esteem for the church is not at its highest. Maybe we could say it that way. Esteem for the church is not at its highest. And for many people, if they're not openly antagonistic toward the church, it's just it's just totally irrelevant to them. I mean, they're just not even thinking about the church and our message. We've basically just, they've just kind of written us off. So, you know, back when Christ Church was built, the building was completed, was it, I think, 62? So in 1962, the strategy was, well, that's the furthest southern part of the city. It's going to be a high-growth area. We're going to build a nice church there, and people are going to come. And they were right. They were right. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. And while we might wish they weren't, they are. And we all know this, right? We do know it. Those days are gone. So we're gonna have to do things differently if we want to be able to reach people and impact our culture and see people's lives transformed. They're not gonna just show up. And this is where I think hospitality comes in. Because hospitality, as you read about it in the Bible, is provocative. When you start really practicing hospitality, people start to take notice, like, wow, this is different. It lowers the barriers. So all these barriers have been built up, and hospitality helps to lower the barriers, helps to lower the anxiety, helps to lower the hostility, and make it possible for people to meet Jesus. So hospitality is what is going to lead us forward. People, you know, I learned this as a Young Life guy way back in the day when I actually was young. You have to earn the right to be heard. And that's where we are culturally. We have to earn the right to be heard. And so how are we going to earn it? We're going to earn it through hospitality, by being warm, inviting, loving, caring people. Think about your home. You invite somebody over. What does it mean? What does that look like to be a good host? What do? You clean your house. Why? Why? Because you want a nice place for people to come into, right? You want them to be comfortable. Okay? What else do? You feed them. Yeah. And what do you feed them? Things that they'll like. I don't like mayonnaise. Just take a note. I don't like mayonnaise. I actually don't like a lot of things, so you're really in trouble. But yeah, you fix things. You fix things that they're going to like. You're anticipating their needs before they even get there, right? What else? You give them your attention. Yeah. Yeah. What else? You're praying for them, yeah. Yeah. So, you're making space for them. Not only in your physical space of your home, but in your life. You're making space, you're making time. Yeah. We could go on. You get what I'm saying. We need to grow in hospitality. And that is how we are going to grow as a people, how we're going to experience an ever-increasing degree of the life that Jesus has for us and how we're going to be able to bring that life to others. That's what we need the Holy Spirit to do in us. And the reality is, we can't do this. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit's animation and transformation in our lives, because without Him, we can do none of this. We can do none of this. So that is why we are so focused here at Focus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, because without the work of the Spirit in us, we're just going to stay who we are. We're not going to change. These deep things in us that Chris was talking about, they're just going to stay there. And we're going to stay stuck in them. But if the Holy Spirit, if we open ourselves to what He wants to do in us, then we're going to grow. And our capacity to do things for God is going to increase. So let me just talk a little bit about two immediate implications for this. As you are aware, or at least I hope you're aware, we are going to be going into a fundraising effort in the fall. It actually formally kicks off next Sunday, the 15th. And this is all about preparation. We need to financially prepare for this next church plant, but also, even more immediately, we need to financially prepare for being a more hospitable church. And so there's really going to be three components to the fundraising. We're going to be raising funds so we can create warm and hospitable spaces. Our actual space has got to be warm and hospitable. We're going to be raising funds so that we can extend missional hospitality out into the world, far beyond the walls of Christ Church. And then we're also going to be raising funds to help create the most warm and hospitable ministries in the church that we can possibly create. So those are going to be kind of the three categories of our fundraising. We're going to be raising funds for hospitable spaces, we're going to be raising funds for hospitable mission, and we're going to be raising funds for hospitable church. And next Sunday is when we're going to start sharing much more of the detail about all of that. So there's the fundraising aspect of this that we're going to be engaging in. The other immediate implication of this is we're going to be doing a study this fall, 8 weeks, on hospitality. And it's called Making Room, Practicing Kingdom Hospitality. We want everyone to participate. We want everyone to participate. If you're already in a life group, we want your life group to sign up to participate in this study. If you're not in a life group, we want you to participate in this study. So sign up and Beth is going to talk more about that in a minute. Get signed up and we'll get you connected into a group. We want everyone in the church to participate in this study. Let me be clear. This study is not about money. Obviously, hospitality has implications for how we spend our money. I mean, there's no question about that. But that's not what this study is. This study is about hospitality, how we can grow in becoming more hospitable people and a more hospitable church. So there's going to be various evenings where this study is going to be offered, and we want every single person in the church to participate. So those are two of the most immediate things that are going to be upon us very, very soon. And I'm really expecting this to be really an amazing season in the life of our church. I think the Holy Spirit is going to do some really significant work in us and through us. And, you know, I've had people ask, so when will we be ready to plant? I don't know. I don't know. I had a very direct sense at the first season of preparation that it was going to take 5 years. I don't think this might not take 5 years. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. But I know we need it. For however long we need it, I know we need it. And I know that we'll know when we're ready. So I want to ask Beth to come up. Beth is going to talk a little bit about the study and give us some of the particulars.
Thank you, Patrick. So Patrick kicked us off last night talking about how do we become fully alive. And he talked about the four parts of our work, the devoted life, becoming more devoted to Jesus, generous life, giving away what we've been blessed with, the spirit-filled life, what we're just digging into here, and then the shared life. And so that for me at Christchurch means in part being part of a life group. And I see life groups as like the lab portion of the teaching, right? Remember in college or in high school, you had the teaching part and then you had the lab part where you got to try it out. And that's where you get, it's a safe relational place to get to try out. What does it mean to be this kind of person? How does it play out in my life, the stuff that I'm learning? How do I actually read the Bible? How do I actually apply it to my life? That's what we get to do in life groups. So I would love for everyone to be involved in a life group. So a few years ago, Patrick said, you know what we got to do? We got to help people who don't have the capacity to host life groups in their homes. We got to clear away all of those challenges that come with hosting things in our homes, like cooking dinner, like cleaning the house, like providing childcare, and all of those things. And so 3 times a year, we offer a session of life groups that lasts about 6 to 8 weeks, and we're starting our fall session at the last week of September. And so lots of life groups will meet in their homes, and they'll do that on any given night of the week. But we'll also offer life group structure on Tuesday and Wednesday nights at OP, and Wednesday nights in Mission, and hopefully a daytime option in OP also, where there'll be dinner cooked and ready for you. There'll be childcare, and your children will get fed and cared for and have their own programming. And Jenny Behrens has written us this amazing curriculum that's going to connect. Yeah, let's have a... She loves the attention. But she's written us this amazing curriculum that's going to connect what we learn on Sunday to what we're talking about during the week. So we can really unpack it and go, what would that look like? How does that work? Where is that in the Bible? What would it look like? Can you guys pray for me that I can actually go there and do that? She's great at writing questions for people who are veterans and people who are rookies, so everyone can be engaged and really go there with the group. If you're in an existing life group, I want you to sign up. But I also would love for you to be looking around this room. I think we have about 25 to 30% of the people here are not in a life group. So meet other people. Ask them if they're in a life group. If they seem like a good fit for yours, invite them to yours. If you're not yet in a life group, I want you to sign up, and we will prayerfully put you in a great life group so that you can experience this too. Early this week, after you guys get home, get a good night's sleep on Sunday night, early in the week, we'll send out an email with a link so you can just click the link and you can write, I want to be with my life group, and give me their name. Or you can, I'm not in a life group, give me a good one, and we'll do that. So when you register online, you'll actually get to pay for the whole study all at once, so you don't have to worry about it again. We want everyone to be able to participate, and so we set the cost at $75 per person. That covers your 8 meals, your booklet, childcare for your kids, your kids getting fed, and that great program. But we never want cost to be a barrier. So there'll be a box for, this is how much I can pay right now, and I want you to use that if you need to use that. There's also going to be a box for, you know what, I would love to donate so someone else can participate. And so if you are able, feel free to use that too, because we really don't ever want cost to be a barrier to people experiencing this kind of hospitality and learning and experience. Yeah, that's it. Chris used this phrase, he talked about enfolding people into loving community. And I would love to see us just knock that out of the park. that everyone here would get to be in a life group, that everybody who didn't get to come this weekend would get to be in a life group, that people who haven't even visited our church yet, who are going to come in the next 3 or 4 or 6 weeks, would get invited into a life group to get to try to experience, to try to live this out, right? So will you be on the lookout for those folks and invite them? You'll get a link on Monday or Tuesday of this week, and just click that link and register for life groups, okay?
So I think we're a little ahead of schedule. But any questions? Yes, Fiona. So is the plan for Overland Park to plant a new church at some point, or Mission, or both, or well, we don't have a plan yet. We don't have a plan, but absolutely, when we are at that point where we're talking about raising up a team of people who will go and plant again, that invitation will be given. You know, there will be people from Mission, I am sure. There will be people from Overland Park, I am sure. So it'll be an all-church effort. Yeah. It's so any sense of location or anything like that, and the answer is no. No, because just to give you some idea, how did we come to Mission? It wasn't random. So we prayed about where we wanted to go. We knew strategically we wanted to go to a part of the city that we thought really needed a church. All the churches in Mission have either left or are dying. So we thought, well, that they need a church then. So we'll go there. We're not going to go where everyone else is going, where there's a church on every corner. So that was part of the impetus to go to Mission. We thought they need a church. We reached out to the city, and the city was very open about, yes, we would love to have a new church here. It was the only city that we contacted that they said that they responded enthusiastically. And then third, Nick, who was the lead planter, lived in Mission. And you know, he thought, well, that makes sense. So, you know, so all those things converged to say, yes, Mission. And if any one of those three had probably not happened, we probably wouldn't have been there. So until there are more pieces of the puzzle together, we won't know. Yeah. Okay. So the question was about the kind of the three categories of our fundraising. So hospitable spaces, hospitable mission, so out beyond the walls of Christ Church, and then hospitable church, funds helping us as a community grow our own ministry. Because obviously, We can't, if the body is not healthy, then you don't really have much to share out there. So some of the funds will be directed toward our own church ministries and systems and infrastructures to help us be the best that we can be, whether it be things like student life and, you know, children's ministry, those kind of things. Does that make sense? Questions. The hospitality study starts. So the sermon series begins on the 22nd, and then the groups will begin that following week. Yes. So we think $500,000 is what it takes us to plant a church and to do it right. And that's an approximate number, obviously, but 500,000. Could be more. Mission has been more. We'll just say that. But 500,000 gives us a good start. Yeah, April. Yeah. Acts 2, the five steps, where are we? Well, I have to look at the five steps first. Yeah. That'll teach me, right? So I did write this down. But I don't remember that as necessarily the five steps. Those are Chris's five steps, not my five steps. So Jesus told them to wait, right?
There they are.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
He told them to wait. Okay, so we're doing that. There we go. I think actually all of these things need to be going on now. It's not as if, of course we're in one sense, we're in a season of waiting to plant again. But the only way we're going to be ready to plant again is if the Spirit is moving us outward and enabling us to speak the good news of Jesus in a heart language that people can understand. And only as the Holy Spirit is moving all of us to participate in this great work that he has for us, that's the only way we're going to get ready to plant and get out of that season of waiting to plant. Does that make sense? So I don't see this as simply as linear for us. This is happening at different levels. But certainly when it comes to planting, we're in a season of waiting together and praying. But it's not going to happen. That season of waiting is not ever going to, we're not going to come out of it unless 3, 4, and 5 are happening now. Yeah, Lisa.
What would you think that heart language means for us?
What does heart language mean for us? Well, the gospel, so in Acts, what happens? They are supernaturally given the ability to speak about these deeds of God, the amazing deeds of God, in languages that are these people's native tongues. So that's what Chris means by saying they were able to hear it, and not just hear it in Greek or in Hebrew, or they were able to hear it in their heart language. So in any culture, at any time, the gospel has to be contextualized. We're not simply just trying to proclaim the gospel. We want to proclaim it in a way that it can be heard and received. And those are different things, right? Like, you can go just stand on the street corner and yell, but probably not to much effect. Right? Well, because it's not in any context. It's not being put in anyone's heart language where they have the ability to really hear it and receive it. And so that's what we've got to do. The gospel is not just words. You know, you're forgiven and sanctified and justified and, you know, the gospel is the power of God to transform people's lives. And so it's up to us to wrestle with how do we speak this in a way that helps people to receive it. I think this is where Alpha is helpful for us to understand. Alpha is a way to put the gospel in people's heart language so that they can receive it. Because what does our culture need today? Our culture needs relationships. We're desperately lonely. And what does Alpha do? Rather than some kind of individualistic approach to sharing the gospel, we're inviting people into a community where they get to experience relationships. You sit down at dinner together, you know, you just get to know each other. So that's an example. Alpha is a great example of how you take this great message and put it into a context where it begins to speak to people so that they can hear it and receive it. But we've got a lot of work to do there because, as we mentioned earlier, the barriers, the cultural resistance is significant. And part of that resistance comes from the fact that the church for so many years has basically just said, we don't give a rip about your heart language. We're just going to say this however we want, and you're either going to take it or not. We don't care. And we've got enough people and enough cultural clout, we don't really care what you do. Well, now the church is saying, oh, oops. Now the church is not in that position of power. And so now we're having to say, okay, wait a minute. We actually are going to have to meet people where they are. We're going to have to actually speak to them respectfully and with love and really do the hard work of thinking about how we put this in a language that people can understand. That was more than an answer. I'm sorry. I just preached a sermon. One more. Anybody else? Yeah.
I have a question, but I just wanted to publicly thank you for your discernment. And I know that I, as a math Christian, are changed because of Holy Spirit has been working through me. And I
know. Yes. Say that again through the microphone. Not that first part, but that last part.
You can say it all.
Well, I'm going to say the first part, too. No, I just... I'm Katie, and I just... I want to thank Patrick, the parish council. I know that many of us at Mission are changed because of the discernment, the process that we've gone through, and what the Lord has done in our midst. It's been wonderful. So wonderful, I'm standing up saying it, which is not normal for me to do.
So we want that for more people, and not only the people in our community who are going to go and do the work, but the people who are going to come into the community as a result of all that. So that's we want to keep our eye on that prize. That's our goal. That's what we're after. We want to bring this life to others, and that's how we're going to do it. But we've got some work to do, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good.